And I just believe that Shin isn't going to be silly and say, we're going to have a dog fight up front and we're going to, you know, take each other on so we ruin both their chances. So I just feel that Blake is just going to sit on it. Yeah, you know, up front, of course.
Tiny thing outside the data that you bring, Vince. I've just looked it up. I cannot find a ride where Blake has ridden 54.5. And when he's ridden at 55.5, he's been half over. He's riding at 54.5, and he rode this horse in a trial on the 11th. That tells you supreme confidence in this. He must be absolutely killing himself to ride this horse.
Well, he might be desperate to win a gold slipper.
Camelot. Storm Boy's got the run on the inside. Coleman wide out with Lady of Camelot. It's Coleman, Lady of Camelot. Coleman ahead in front to Lady of Camelot. Coleman, Lady of Camelot. The lady dives and Lady of Camelot got up. Lady of Camelot, a spectacular win in the Golden.
We're Knights of the Mount.
V8 revving up now. And V8 takes the lead of the 100 from Lady Laguna running on. It's V8 and Lady Laguna. V8, Lady Laguna, V8. Now, where are the chasers? Tom Kitten on the inside, Riff Rocket on the outside, it's lengthening now. Here comes Riff Rocket, charging down the outside, and Riff Rocket will win the race. Zapateo's launching on the outside. Sunshine in Paris late. Zapateo wide out hits the lead from Sunshine in Paris. Zapateo on the lead. And here she comes. Via Sistina moved up on the outside of Plastica Saracel. Then Think It Over and Buckaroo. But Via Sistina bringing the great European form here to Sydney. And she's too classy.
This is a silly place.
And now on PG Podcast Network, it's time for the year-round carnival with Vince Accardi and your host, Racetrack Rolfie.
Yeah, name another podcast that would start off with Monty Python and the Golden Slipper highlights. Audio, of course, Sky Racing, courtesy of Darren Flindell's fantastic calls. Lots of things to talk about, including, of course, the starting point, Lady of Camelot, Blake Shin's fantastic ride, and the master herself, Gay Wardhouse, bring up her 8th Golden Slipper, of course, now with alongside Adrian Bott. Vince Accardi, good morning to you.
Good morning, Ralphie. Oh, what a weekend of racing. I tell you what, I was glad to get through with the skin of my teeth, man. It was not easy. Copped a couple of bullets, dodged a couple of bullets, and one that saved me. But yes, what a day. It was fantastic racing.
Absolutely. So we heard that little sting from our at the start from our Friday podcast. Blake Shin was going to take the sit. You knew he wasn't going to get sucked in, as he did in the Blue Diamond. Now, There was a number of different ways in the end race morning you stayed out of it, but there was what was Storm Boy going to do, what was Switzerland going to do, but the reality was the Lady of Camelot had the perfect profile. And what I was keen to point out to our people on Friday and Saturday, there was two races of speed leading in, the Magic Millions and the Blue Diamond, and that's ended up being the form line.
Yeah, well, Ralphie, and a lot of talk about saying this is like a sensational field, but the scoreboard in terms of the performance, it wasn't, right?
Yes.
And there it is. 0.6 above benchmark gets you victory. That's less than the Blue Diamond, right?
Yes.
So when has that happened?
Very, very rarely. Nothing off the top of my head.
Yeah. So the horse that runs second in the Blue Diamond wins the slipper.
Yes, and that was the one that was busted open when there was two things happened that day. There was insane tactics on Spywire and Adam Hieronymus, and you know we're just sitting here on our backsides while he's riding a horse. But he went into that speed battle with that horse when I was on Sunday. Blake Shin, I'm too smart for that.
And that's the other thing that just blew me away. 0.8 above benchmark, first section. Maybe it was this bit of giving the ground because they look like they're going faster, but they weren't.
Yes.
So that was really interesting. It was really the power of the mid-race. It wasn't big, but still, it was there. I mean, Lady of Camelot couldn't have been in a better position. I mean, Shin, he's the master on the scene at the moment, and he's definitely proving that. Going 1.1 lengths below benchmark, and if you compare it to the two runs the horses had leading into that, it was 1.2 above at Rose Hill in the third of the second, so almost more than two lengths slower through the first section, and then versus the Blue Diamond, 4.2 versus 1.1. It's got 5 lengths of energy conservation. Just clearly demonstrates the power of A, the stable, B, the rider. I mean, it was a superb ride, but I thought it was really interesting. Storm Boy not jumping out that cleanly probably was saved, in my view, in the sense of, well, they weren't flying, were they? So it allowed him to be part of the race, you know, very quickly, and just wasn't good enough in the end, was it, Rolfie?
Did you happen to see the vision of Gay Waterhouse watching the race?
Someone told me about it, but I didn't personally see it.
So for those who haven't seen it, the Channel 7's got the camera on it. She's watching it with her daughter, and she's cheering home Storm Boy at the 200-meter mark, and then by the 100-meter mark, he's not going to win. So for a beat, she's, oh, the filly. Just realizes she wins anyway. So we know who she was barracking for. I was watching Blake Sheen Vince throughout the race. and the, here's the thing, and again, and zero criticism, in fact, all praise for Kieran McAvoy, who's just been on fire, and now the poor bugger in the last race took a fall and he's out for the rest of the carnival. But he pressed the button at the right time on Coleman, but Blake just had enough and he didn't panic at that 300-meter mark, just waited for that little bit out. And how often do we say a bloke like Nash, and now Blake's in that, absolutely in that category. They just leave that little bit where it counts.
It's true, Ralphie, and it's really crazy. Like, the horse was slowing all the way to back to the last 200. So did he ever leave something in the tank? I mean, for it to work for you, I mean, just shows, A, what a horse can do, Ralphie, when you've come out of a couple of fast-run races and then get the reverse race shape for the horse itself. I mean, this horse must have been feeling sensational to be able to slow down from the 600 metres to the 200 metres. That was a 0.5 below benchmark between the 6 and the 4. So that's a 2.8 length slowdown. Then another, was it 1.6 below benchmark between the 4 and the 2. So from that point to the 200 metre mark, this horse has slowed 4 lengths, Rolfie, and rebounded with a plus 2 last 200. And better than the rest of the competition, who did, no other horse had that dramatic slowdown in the race. That was it. That was the runner that had the biggest slowdown. I thought it was, you know, just fantastic personally. And Coleman, well, probably, I don't know, looked like he was going to win the race for a moment, but didn't have the same slowing down. Do you see that the transition wasn't as bad? There was some slowdown, but just couldn't rebound as well.
Amazingly, now we do. Cam sent us an email. We always give our members a chance to send us an email on the Sunday. And Cam sent this: keen to hear how Vince thought the lanes played in Sydney, or whether that impacted Tom Kitten. Looked like the rider had enough to get it off the fence, but chose not to. Talking through my pocket, of course. So park that for one sec. Side note: being a member of this podcast might be the best way for anyone to following horses to spend some money. Lady of Camelot at $26 on the futures after the members podcast regarding the trials before the two-year-old races started. Well, we touched on it at the trial, and then after its first up win, what we started doing was looking at the two-year-olds for, as the Group 1 member bonuses. Amazingly, on the 3rd of February, Coleman, fantastic at Caulfield, and Lady of Camelot also was first up and was sensational. And this is what you had to say about Lady of Camelot first up.
Overall, 1.4 above, over 1,100, not 1,000. Yep. So just on that scorecard alone, we've got about a 1.2 length gap. Third best of the day. Ralphie, third best of the day on a, you know, like there were some good horses that raced here, right? And then let's look at the breakdown. Wow. 1.2 above first section. Flying, absolutely. Yeah. 2.9 above between the 8 and the 4. Now, it's so hard to do for a two-year-old to actually go faster and then quicker. And then I just sit back and I was a little bit in awe, Ralphie.
Third best of the day, Vince. Third best of the day. You wanted to emphasise that. For a two-year-old to do that in February at Rose Hill, that said, quality.
Yeah, look, it was. How do I put it? I mean, it's such a tough thing for any horse to be able to achieve what it did. And it just sort of demonstrated, again, the power of the Waterhouse team. to have a horse like to be able to do what it did, Ralphie. And then I just have to say it was a master ride. Just usually that team, where do they want to be? They want to be leading, but the sense was there that they weren't going to lead in the grand final for them, the Golden Slipper, that they had a couple of other horses that were probably going to own that front and do the work. And that was another powerful move. And this is also the power of having a number of horses in the race. It allows you, you're not going to be controlling any race, Ralphie, but it allows you to, you know, potentially, when you have horses that go forward, you can pick and choose which one should be going harder or not.
So if you want the full members bonus podcast of what we did then, just send me an email. You've got to be registered to my website, racetrackralphie.com.au. Don't send me an email if you're not registered. I won't send it to you, but I'll dig that out and I'll send you the full bonus podcast, because each week we give our members a chance to be involved with the show, but also our Group 1 members, we do bonus podcasts. And not only do we cover that weekend, now, a couple of things. Firstly, Vince, that weekend, here's the thing that we said in the podcast.
Yep.
Top three after that weekend was Storm Boy, number one, Magic Millions. Number two, Lady of Camelot. Number three, Coleman. This is crazy that at the first week of February, the trifecta in the Golden Slipper was the top three at the first week of February. Nothing improved.
That's the crazy part. That nothing improved. How is this possible? Are they getting slower? Three-year-olds.
Well, this crop they have.
Yeah, but still, don't get me wrong, it was a fantastic contest, right? It was actually an outstanding race, right? But I just have this expectation that there's more, and the more didn't come, and a little bit like Storm Boy, the more didn't come.
Well, a week later, and I won't play the grab, but let me assure you, you said it, and our members will back me up here. So the other member bonus we did was on the 9th of March, 2 days later, of course, after Switzerland won. You said you were a little bit sad at what it actually produced. So isn't this amazing that the year before with Shinzo, McDonald, Waller, okay, it's going to explode, but sometimes you just got to look at every horse in isolation, not necessarily the stable, because he just didn't do enough and his lead didn't win.
No, he didn't, Ralphie. He hadn't been able to break benchmark yet.
But doesn't that show you how much it affects the mind too for fast form students? Because sometimes we can't help looking at other things, and sometimes for the right reasons too, because geniuses like Chris Waller, Gay Wardhouse, etc., get their horses to explode beyond the data.
Well, this is exactly right, Ralphie. And then what happens sometimes, you just feel that maybe they're back in the race as well, because not many horses are that far past the benchmark standard.
Yeah.
Maybe horses will struggle to get there. And this, in terms of a score, I'd have to go back and have a look at this, but would this be the lowest slipper figure we've given a horse in the last 10 years?
Oh, I can't think of one on a non-bog-heavy track. A couple of those bog-heavy tracks are probably the case, but yeah.
Yep. So, yeah.
All right. Well, that's what it is. There's lots of good racing to talk about.
Yeah, of course.
There's a bit of walling, of course, here. So let's put them on the table here from Daniel. Zapateo and Chain of Lightning performing like that makes me doubt the good three. Moody post race said Chain had been able to get her toe in a long time, hadn't been able to get her toe in for a long time. Nash post race Private Eye said the track was shifty again. Plus, the Internationals thrived earlier in the day. Another one from Nick were the inside lanes at Rosehill Poison. And there were others involving Huey as well. Michael, can you get your thoughts on what Rosehill Guineas tells us about the Derby? Can Tom Kitten bounce back if he goes there? Stuck with Lady of Camelot. It's a nice result yesterday. So well done to you, Michael. So, sorry, one more from Scott. Is it time to put the Do Not Trust label on Tom Kitten? He's becoming a money muncher rather than a money creator. So that's from race six. Vince, you were sad. What happened in the Rosehill Guineas?
Well, I just feel we should address that first part about the track.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, just quickly on the raws, right? That's a great place to start, the raw figures. Race one, 0.2 below benchmark. So we could say that's got to be bang on G4 or better, right?
Yep.
But then race two, 2400, you don't see this very often, Ralphie, plus 6.7 on the raws. Wow. Hang on a moment. That's like pretty serious, right?
Yep.
This tells me a little bit about where's the quality and where's not the quality, right? Race three, plus 1.7 for a 1,900-meter race of mares, right? Race 4, 0.7 below benchmark, shoot race. Race 5, 9.3 below benchmark. Why?
Hurdle speed. Yeah,
exactly. 18 lengths below benchmark, right? I mean, 9.7 last 400. It's got to be flying, Ralphie, right? Race 6, minus 3. But Riff Rocket going 11.5 below benchmark, right?
Yep.
V8 race, plus 6.9. Hot race in terms of pressure. That track, you'd be saying, Jesus, we're well and truly beyond the G3, but we have to add a bit of the quality back, right?
Yep.
Race 8, plus 1.2, we touched on it. The Zapateo race, which is the one we're going to work on next, I assume, plus 4.3, and finish off the day, again, shoot race, plus 1.1. So maybe some merit in the shoot races, Ralphie, not the same. And definitely when I look at the early speed coming out of those shoot races, we usually see a lot more pace. It wasn't there, right? And this, in my view, definitely the track in the shoot races had a little bit more of a problem than the rest of the course.
Right. So with the Rose Hill Guineas, when we break it apart, one thing that had you a bit cold about Riff Rocket was his explosion had been off soft speeds. Did this assist him on Saturday that he had the soft speed, and Tom Kitten, who was absolutely phenomenal in the spring champion, but that was a race of pressure.
Well, this is going to be really interesting. Firstly, Riff Rocket, 100%. What does it love? When it can get into a situation where it can have this scenario of not a lot of pace, and there wasn't. I mean, 5 lengths below benchmark.
That's the lead speed, not Riff Rocket.
This is the lead speed, and Riff Rocket's going 11.6 below. What a great place to be in terms of conserving energy. You're marginally running better than barrier trial speed. Barrier trial speed is typically, rule of thumb, it's about 16 lengths below benchmark. 12 is the band. Then every now and then you'll get the a crazy speed in a barrier trial. But that's it. This horse was like borderline barrier trial through the first half of the race, and then it started. Even the mid-race move wasn't excessive. It was a 13.5 length mid-race squeeze, and then, I have to admit, sensational last 400 of plus 6.6. I have to also address, it was crazy. Virtually most of the racing was well away from the fence. Therefore, giving you a feel that... Always looking at how do you beat lanes. It has to be, Rolfie.
Yeah.
Must be more given those sections. There must be putting more water in. It's all I could say because that makes sense. Because why else would you be away from it, right? And the horses that were typically where you could perform well in the lanes didn't seem to ignite more fire in terms of speed. So maybe there was other issues there. I'm just making an assumption purely off the numbers that it just wasn't there, and they were coming out a lot wider in terms of lane bias, which is not typical of what happens there.
So Tom Kitten, obviously Huey elected to stay at the fence, but how much of it was dictated, how much of it was choice? In the end, as great as he is, he hasn't been riding here recently. that's just a fact.
Well, a few things. Number one, question mark around the Blue Jackets and how well they're preparing their horses. Stable I follow closely because you can make a lot of money out of the good stables. As you know, Ralphie, it's an important piece of the jigsaw puzzle when you just move away from racehorses themselves. And, of course, the second big caveat's the riders. Number one, clearly I feel that there's challenges with the Blue Jackets this season with some of the things that have happened and the way horses perform. You would think, and I certainly did, and not only did I think that, I followed through with my actual own hard-earned money myself. I just expected that Tom Kitten, with the three lead-in runs, was going to be super dynamic. This is a horse that can handle giving the ground as well, right? Yep. What happened to be. It's not like that it can't handle it. It had the really good lead-in coming into this. Yes, first time up to 2,000 metres. They got a slow pace, and the horse, in my view, looked like it was out of condition inside the 150-metre mark, like it was done. Secondly, just addressing the Hugh Bowman factor and that he normally doesn't ride it. Hugh Bowman, there were opportunities where if you watch the video very closely, he was thinking about moving to, not to go to the inside, but moving to the outside. But his reaction time was delayed and then got snookered, and then he was forced into no other option but going to the inside. This obviously doesn't, I feel, do the best for Tom Kitten either, as it turns out. But bottom line is, this horse, to return a performance of 0.8 below benchmark, is definitely behind what we've seen, and it questions how ready was the horse. Because this horse should have been able to produce at least a one-length better performance, just a one-length better performance on the minimum, and it didn't. And I'm not going to ultimately, you can sit in and say, okay, maybe it was a negative in the lanes, but the reality was the negative in the lanes for me for that horse would have been that a big horse like that, being going around horses is a lot better. And I actually, when they jumped, I thought, why aren't you where Riff Rocket is further back? So jump cleanly, but I didn't realise at the time when they were running that they're going that slow. So
yeah,
I obviously changed my mind on that thought when I worked through the numbers and realised that, oh, well, the horse is going pretty slow, Ralphie. I mean, Jesus, 8.9 lengths below benchmark. You're cruising, right? And even the mid-race squeeze, I mean, I had to say, do I have to bring the milk out, right?
Well, so let's put this. There's two follow-ups I've got to give you there. The second one I'll park because it's involving the Galaxy that we'll get to. But the first one, this nags at me. One of the fundamentals, Mark Lamborn, was a fantastic Sydney form student, used to say on the Punters Show, your first up run tells you where you're really at. Okay, there are always exceptions. First up, last prep in the spring, what do you do 26th of August?
Well, there he is, plus 1.4.
Best of the day.
Yep.
What do you do first up this prep?
Minus 2.2.
So either they've got him well behind and just targeting the Derby, or as you said, maybe the horse just isn't really as dynamic now. He's a stallion. Maybe he's thinking of other things, Vince, as they say.
Well, it's a little bit frustrating. Is there a possibility, right? Is there a possibility, Ralphie? And I haven't given it enough consideration. Because sometimes, and this is part of the whole regime of racing, and this happens to a lot of people, and I'm no exception, right, that when you actually have money on a horse and you taste the medicine, right, good or bad, because if you have a big victory, you'll have one thought. If you have a bad victory, you'll have another thought. So sometimes, psychologically, you have a tendency to overlook a whole lot of things and just want to, you know, smash the horse down. And I'm just thinking about myself, right? Smash the horse down. What the hell did the stable do? What the rider do? You know, all the possible things you can grasp on to make you feel better about your shitty decision on why you got beaten, because you want to justify you made a good decision. But when you reflect back, and I was just sharing with you all my initial comments.
Yep.
And some of them stick pretty firm. But then when we just come back to business and we just look at the purity of the numbers, is it possible that this horse was flattened by that run the start before, where it produced a plus 2.2 overall, right?
So the high-pressure ran with guineas.
Yeah, having a massive turnaround in performance through the first section, going 7.9 lengths faster than the run before. And then you've got to remember, had a pretty soft first up run as well in terms of speed, 9.6 below. So it's almost 11 lengths faster. And then you look at the mid-race, right, and you compare it to just the start before, 3.2 below versus plus 3.3. So when you accumulate all that, you say, okay, well, the horse went the start before over 1,400, a total of, what we've got, 9.6 lengths below benchmark. And now you're going more than 10 lengths faster with 200 extra meters through the first two sections. And then you even compare the last 400 meters of that day versus the start before, and it was almost identical. There was a 0.4 variation. So is it possible that he was flat? Because the finish wasn't there, Ralphie, off that slow speed. So my initial reaction, wanting to look at saying, the preparation, got to question the Blue Jackets, because there were probably other events that took place that also made me feel like that. You know, if I go and have a look at what happened in Melbourne, which we'll, I'm sure we'll touch on the major race. But the reality is, this is a possibility, Ralphie. And again, it's a learning process. It's painful. I, generally speaking, when you find horses with good quality, you can back them a lot of times and get great results. Now, of course, if the horse runs third, I'm still smiling, but it didn't happen. So is it possible this is the case? I don't know.
This is why we do what we do on a Monday, because we're not going to always get it right, but we're going to try and investigate our own thinking.
Well, this is it. And so I'm going through that process saying, could that be possible?
Yep. Just a couple ones here from Luke. I was very keen on Tom Kitten and Stormboy on Saturday. Both good prices in future bets. They both drew barrier two. I was disappointed in both rides because I felt the fence was no-go zone. Was this so? Should I follow up on both going forward, or Saturday grand final for both? So we've pretty much covered the lanes. Vince, do you think Stormboy and or Tom Kitten can rebound? Stormboy, assuming going to the 1400 size produce.
Well, I guess all things can happen for Stormboy now.
Yeah.
Now the big race is out the way.
Yeah.
Anything's possible, right?
Yep.
So, job done. Not sure who were the victors there, but someone got victory out of it. If you run a place, Ralphie, very good. The question for me still remains. I'm not sure if this runner was going to be able to improve on the Golden Slipper run. I said that Saturday, on the Gold Coast run on Saturday morning, because there was one angle of approach where I was looking at it and saying, there was a feeling maybe this is it for you right now. This is as far as you're going to go, but... is the horse got some ability for sure? Maybe if the inside was a little bit off, that could have been another negative. So I'm not going to sit here right this moment and say no, but would you be storming into it? A bit like Tom Kim, can you be storming into it? But we found a rationale reason, but that's still, you know, like to back up and back it again. Usually for me, I... you know, very cautious now because this is a, you know, like there's a lot of bleeding that goes on, right? It's not pretty, but the reality is you wouldn't be excited off that run unless you had absolute conviction that what I just said was, you know, like on point. And then where, you know, who's he going to race against into the future as well is another thing.
Might have been Zabi winner in that race with it. His name wasn't Tom Kitten, but I'll write that up in sizzlers. From Jason, been getting Vince's data for over 7 years now, essentially for backing a winner. Other than days of racing on heavy tracks, I don't think I've seen a feature day with so many horses just looking buggered over the last 200 than Rosal on Sunday, including especially the place getters. Was that just optics, or did the data back this up? Vince, historically, do horses elevate off such tracks, or should we be searching for those that avoided Rose Hill tracks over the last two meetings when it comes to Randwick features?
Well, when you obviously have high exertion in the tracks where there's more give and they don't, you know, generally dry out like a summer track should, this could create a bit more heaviness in the legs and have horses feel a little bit more jaded after a run in terms of being tired and may take a bit more time to overcome. This is possible, but I can't say myself personally that I was looking through that lens when I was doing form work in up-and-coming races. It is what it is on the day. Yep. Riders chose to stay away from the fence. They're usually always the best guide. They're not silly. They're very intelligent when it comes to making those decisions, because always got to remember, my view is, besides the sheer fact that they want to win, it's business for them as well. If they win, they make more money no matter what. So that's part of their you know, serious livelihood. Sure, they get paid for, you know, having a ride on a horse, but nothing can justify more than winning.
Two-way self-interest, Vince. It's good.
Yeah, and I love that, right? Cause
exactly.
And so they all stayed away from it, Ralphie. So many riders wanted to stay away from it.
Okay, so the Blue Jacket supporters would be saying, while you're saying what you said about Tom Kitten, yep, but what about Zapateo, Vince? So, Vince, what about Zapateo?
Yeah, what about Zapateo? No, Ralphie. Well, firstly, I mean, is the horse racing in great form? Of course he is, right? I mean, there's no question about that. I mean, the horse is in outstanding form, right? And so I can't knock the horse from that perspective. Did he go to a new level is probably the big thing.
Sheep.
Well, yeah, sheep. I mean, you have a look at it, right? This horse has been able to run near three lengths above benchmark, right? There's a performance there. You only have to go back to last year, Ralphie, 2.9 above, right? So this horse is quite capable of running to near three, and on the weekend it ran plus 2.7. So the performance was fantastic. I look at the structure of the race again. They shoot races, Ralphie. Probably a little bit more give in that section has to be, right, through those first 300-400 metres. We're travelling benchmark. Front page is going 0.1 above benchmark. This horse, I mean, there was obviously a lot of support for this horse, you know, leading into that race. And then you have a look at that horse's profile. Okay, it's first up. But it's gone 5.1 lengths above benchmark in a 1,200-metre race. It's gone 4.3 lengths above. It's gone 2.7, 4.9. A slow race for that horse is 0.2 above. So that sort of tells you, and this horse is fresh. Maybe there was a lot more resistance and it was taking a bit out of him. But that was the nature of the race. And Zapateo, fifth going into the race, going a length 1.1 lengths below benchmark. The interesting part is when I look at the mid-race move, it wasn't any more dynamic than what we've seen out of the Golden Slipper. I mean, Zapateo's gone from minus 1.1 to 0.6 above, and then it was all about that hard last 400 metres. And Zapateo produced a 4.8 above benchmark and was able to get victory.
Adam's onto this point, Vince. I'll butt in here.
Yep.
Did Jason Collett taking the inside run cost Sunshine in Paris?
Well, best been touching on it. I mean, I was on this horse and would have liked to have won on this occasion because it would have helped, you know, recovery a bit faster. But the reality is, I'm not sure if it's that or could you afford it to give a two-length head start in the end? Because when I look at the wraparound of the first five, six horses, Ralphie,
yep,
they're all within a length and a half maximum of the leader.
It was the only one that really made ground.
Yeah, that horse was further back, right? It was going 3.1 lengths below benchmark. Now, under all circumstances, that's a fantastic place to be, right?
Yep.
Tracking three lengths from the lead speed, that's gold. But if there is more resistance and it is tougher and you're just that little bit further back, somewhere in the race you have to pay the penalty. And as it turned out, it just appeared that all the horses that were hard close to the lead hung on. And Sunshine Paris had to give the biggest head start out of that pack. And then you have to go all the way down to King's Gambit, who was in a similar position. That was a lot further behind in the overall result.
King's Gambit's another one. We just got a question. Mm-hmm. Is it putting in, or again, if he was the one who was too far back, is that the negative on the day? Because maybe he just needs a fast pace and fast track.
Or maybe 1,200 as well.
That's right. So time will tell there. Just to wrap up from front page, because Mark's asked, if you have enough time, can you ask Vince for a breakdown of front page in the Galaxy? No interest like self-interest. So,
yeah. Well, I thought the performance was fantastic.
Yeah.
0.1 above benchmark first section, going two lengths above benchmark between the 8 and the 4. Realistically, overall performance, 1.8 above. Very, very hard to fault. And the trainer, absolutely, when I look at the closing last 200 metres of this horse, and even the way it was still performing coming to the 400 metres, this horse was very, very ready and I would say extremely forward in condition. Maybe very close to its top, but it was a fantastic effort. And a plus 2.2 justifies the fact, like, there was a stack of money for that horse, Ralphie. A stack of money.
Yep. It turned up. Okay, a couple of the other group ones. We could talk about this day forever, of course, but let's get to race five, the Ranvit. So, Via Sestina, you did some more work on the Friday and you said to our customers on the Saturday morning, this horse at its best. You weren't expecting to bring its best, but at very best, it's a plus six range horse, which is borderline Cox Plate.
Yes.
So, what did it do? And what circumstances prevented it from doing more? Because obviously there was a hurdle speed with Think It Over up front.
Yeah. Well, look, the good news was small field, they did give great price. It was, you know, $1.50 everywhere it placed and it was reasonable for a win. But the reality is this, 3.1 lengths above IVR benchmark, third best performance of the day off a race shape of minus 22.4 is what this horse was travelling at. The leader was going 17.9 below, a bit slower than a barrier trial speed, as we know. We're getting into the hurdle territory. That's typically, well, 22.5 is absolutely what you see at Warrnambool. You know, a fast race of Warrnambool over the hurdles like 18, 16, and just a normal race is like 22, 25, right?
Yep.
Maybe sometimes 30 below benchmark. So this is where we're at, hurdle speed. I love that, though. I do love it because if you absolutely have confidence that it was going to be slow and then you had a horse like this is why I'd grown a lot of confidence because I go, no pace, no nothing. These sort of horses are going to love that. These are the Europeans, right? Because they're accustomed to a lot of these races where they have no speed. But look what happened. Firstly, that mid-race squeeze, I have to go back and have a good look. Not sure if Winx could have done a bigger squeeze than that, right? This is serious squeeze. 25.8. That's top-end squeeze for this.
So the squeeze, again, for people who are taking out for the trying to learn what your terminology, that's your increase of pace from the 800 to the 400.
Yeah, it's 25.8. And then usually what happens when they have such a phenomenal squeeze, there are horses that can do that, but there are very, very few horses. This is why I have to check Winx, right?
Yeah.
That can finish the last 400 with a plus 9.7. That is... We're talking about that wins you. That pace there in terms of your acceleration is far as fast as any sprinter that's running around right now. I mean, that's how good it is. It was just – and it won pretty comfortably, Ralphie. Right? It didn't win like, oh, my goodness, there's nothing left. I mean, there was plenty left. This horse wasn't even getting out of the gears. Big surprise for me and a pleasant one, by the way. The plus 3.1, look out. Look out for this horse. Oh, my goodness.
Queen Elizabeth will be its target. So, Place to Carousel ran second, and the winner in race two, Post Impressionist, won race two. It looks like they're both going to back up into the Tancred. So, if you want to hear Vince's thoughts on the Tancred next week, and including, of course, the Vinery, and we'll throw in a bonus of the Australian Cup, that'll be our preview podcast this week. So, we'll do Flemington Australian Cup only, but the entire meeting, all the features there for Rose Hill, the Tancred, the Vinery, and any other features as well on the day, we'll be covering that. So, if you want to get the race speed profile, as well via my website, racetrackralphie.com.au. If you're already a Daily Sectionals customer, there's a podcast only top up option, and we'll give you a 4-week discount option as well. So, like I said, that'll be the case this Friday. Let's have a look at the one that we haven't touched on, the Group One, which is V8 in the Rider, Vince. This was a high-pressure setup, and V8 beat Lady Laguna, two horses we've been very keen on following and militarized. Was it a case of too far back just due to this race shape?
This was the run race of the day, in my view, in terms of look, overall scorecard, 3.2.
Gee, that again tells you there's something off this with this track because you know, these are quality horses flying. 3.2.
Well, the raw's
best of the day.
Yeah, well, the raw's 6.9.
Okay, yep.
So that's decent, right? It's decent. And we've got to look at where V8 come from and where it's landing. And we've got to look at Lady Laguna. I mean, Jesus, Lady Laguna. Like, I only omitted it because I thought you can't do it at 1500. But it's the proof about when the mares are airborne that they just keep performing. And this was stunning. But the three horses, really, they were stunning. V8, 6.2 above. Personally, it was beyond my expectations because this horse had a fair bit of racing, Ralphie. But it came out, it was tough. And what we typically get, we get de-acceleration from that point on. But still travelling above benchmark between the 8 and the 4. And the last 400 metres was a 0.2 below. I thought it was a fantastic performance. Lady Laguna on the reverse side, getting that bit of breathing air going 2.8 above. If we're talking about tracking to the lead speed, I mean, the lead speed was 9.4 above the standard. So that's fast. And that probably, unfortunately, was a bit too much for Think About It, right? Who had no option in the end because we talked about if you go back, you're gone. But up front, you are going to be ultimately dictated by how fast they go. 9.4 is probably out of reach, Ralphie. That's probably 2-3 lengths faster than anticipated. And as it turns out, the creator of all that turns out to be Think About It, right? Because of that pressing up forward, just put the pressure on Cepheus to go that bit harder, and we ended up with this 9.4 above. Because if it had been V8 versus Cepheus, there would have been an easing of at least two lengths, and it probably would have been more like in the seven range. And, you know, V8 might have been going five, and think about it, probably didn't have the option to be, you know, in that spot, and hence why we've got that. But I just sit back and I look at Militarize. Militarize was phenomenal, Rolfie, absolutely phenomenal, 1.2 lengths above benchmark. Big possibility this horse could have been flat going into that run as well, Rolfie, right? This is why I'm saying phenomenal. 1.7 above between the 8 and the 4. Outstanding last 400, plus 3.3, off a run that could be marked leading into it flat.
Yeah.
And now looking for the distance. But they obviously chanced their arm. I don't know, any one of these going to Doncaster's and things like that?
Militarize will. And the other one that Adam wanted to know about was the Golden Mile, the fourth horse. Is that the Blue Jackets Doncaster horse?
Well,
think of trainer's intent, and what I'm saying here is, it's going to get the big weight drop it's well known Golden Mile, into the Golden Mile. What type of capabilities Golden Mile got?
Right, so you're feeling that maybe that's what they're targeting, right? Okay,
I love the weight drop. Look at Cylinder, you know, a couple of weeks back. Thankfully. Yeah. Lightning Stakes into the new market.
Okay, I understand. Well, this horse has run right up to its absolute best, in my view. Firstly, when I look at it, 1.6. No, he hasn't run. He's about 0.3. I don't really believe there's much more left.
Right.
When's that race?
It would be in 2 weeks' time.
No, I'm going to say it now, no. Especially with the way the Blue Jackets are training, no.
But Militarize, yes.
Yes, completely different scenario. Well, no, Ralphie, I'm not sure about Militarize.
Yep.
Right? Because why am I getting the sense for 2,000 metres? But in terms of overcoming flatness, yes, Golden Mile is the one that's going to have the flatness issue.
Okay. What a fascinating day's racing. Like I said, we'll do the preview this Friday. If you want to be part of that, racetrackralphie.com.au. To become a member, you can get our bonus podcast, because today there was so much good racing to talk about. We haven't got to Moonee Valley yet, so that will be our Group 1 members bonus. We'll have a look at some highlights from Moonee Valley. Obviously, the William Reid, the standout there, but I think there might be a bit of opportunity to make some money there as well. All events Cardi's work via daily sectionals. Thanks so much for being a listener to Year Round Carnival.